been murdered. All the friends have flown before. On the morrow he will leave me, as my hopes have flown before. And the bird said nevermore.
You're listening to The Call Podcast with Brandon and Josh.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to a brand new edition of The Call. It is a Baltimore Ravens podcast where we talk anything and everything Baltimore Ravens football. Thank you for listening to us on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, the Baltimore Sports Report Network, Player.fm, Overcast, Google Play Music, and Satchel. Well, that was a game. I guess we can say that. Not the way that you want to see the Ravens play up against the Steelers, but man, can I say, when Eric Weddle said, not your same Ravens, this ain't your same Ravens, I don't think any of us thought of it this way, because man, not your same Ravens, this team may look very different in the next season or two. But breaking it all down with me, my buddy Josh, what's going on, man? How you doing?
I don't know. I'm good. Our football team, but I tell you what, you know who ain't the same Raven? Is Eric Weddle without that beard. What is up with that?
He looks like a very young Chuck Liddell now.
Yeah, it's a good assessment. Young, I mean, he looked young on the field. None of the guys do. Oh, man, where do we start? But, hey, Brandon, I got one question for you.
All right.
Are you singing the bye week blues?
You know what? I'm happy this team has a break. So
I'm sad for me. It's like all this hard work, and you're like, man, finally a vacation, a break from all this chaos.
Yeah, I'm sad for me because I don't get to watch some Ravens football, but also I'm like,
Are you really sad? Are you really?
I mean, after watching this season, maybe not, but I'm like, you know what? It's good. Give these guys a rest. Let them chill out for a week. We'll see what they do after that. But this Ravens-Steelers game, like I said last week, I didn't see the Ravens winning. I saw the Steelers coming away with it, but I don't think any of us really expected the game that we did. What an odd ending to a game. What a terrible showing by the offense, and the defense really not showing up either. This was a very lackadaisical team. This was not the way you want to see the team perform in Baltimore at home, but here we are. It's another loss, and there was one thing, you know, there's one thing that the Ravens have to be worried about. I will say this, and it's regarding their fan base, is that, you know, when your fan base becomes indifferent to what you do and how you perform, then you've lost your fan base. But after that loss, on Sunday, we're recording this Monday night, after the loss that was on this past Sunday, we've seen our Facebook page kind of blow up with people giving their comments and concerns about this team going forward. So people are still invested. They want this team to win. They still care about this team. But right now, there is a lot of annoyance. There's a lot of anger. There is a lot of letdown in the Ravens fan base. And I think with the team as a whole. But this may have been the straw that broke the camel's back, as they say, because there are a lot of people out there that are just kind of fed up with this team at this moment.
Dude, fed up is just the tip of the iceberg, dude. I mean, from the fans in the stands to the car ride home to, you know, right on the line. Oh, I'm tongue tied. Online responses and replies. You know, there's a sense of utter just deflation, frustration. I mean, I think it's reached a tipping point, and we're going to squash something right at the get go because, and we're not going to be part of it here at the call because it's just, again, we're not going to be that knee jerk team. Because I hear a lot of people, obviously, and some of the NFL media is probably to blame for this, if you would say. But as soon as the game ended, you know, it was like, first thing I read is, Harbaugh's on the hot seat. Is he going to get fired? I'm like, I laughed. I mean, as bad as this game was in this loss, I mean, we lost to our bitter rivals. So, and it was kind of like a playoff game. So I'm already like, oh, dejected. I mean, it's just, and then hearing that, I actually cracked a smile and laughed. I'm like, are we really talking about this right now? This is the Baltimore Ravens we're talking about. Like, we don't fire head coaches midseason. And of course, everybody's like, well, we did it to the offensive coordinator during our Super Bowl year, and look what happened. I'm like, that's besides the point. I don't think the Ravens would have probably won the Super Bowl if it went for that, because I felt like Cam was holding us back. Harbaugh's not holding back the team, and there's key ingredients for a kind of a coaching change of that caliber. A Brandon, you ready for the recipe of that?
All right, let's hear it.
The recipe is, I'm gonna, and answer me these. Has the players kind of been vocal about Harbaugh saying they're against him, and have they turned their back on the head coach?
The players that are on the current roster, no.
No. Okay.
Players,
ingredient number one.
Certain players like Bernard Pollard have tweeted out their unhappiness with Harbaugh, but I mean, right. you can say that's, you know, sour grapes, or you can just say that was, you know, a former boss or type of thing. And who's going to be mad when you get, you know, who's going to say good things about the person that let you go type of thing.
Right. And it's like almost like Dez with the Cowboys. It's, you know, it's, I mean, Pollard has some harsh words to say, and there's truth to that. But number one, he's no longer the team. He did win a Super Bowl year, so there's a silver lining there. But, you know, and any criticism, current former player, but really focusing on the current players,
right.
There has to be that kind of like, we don't like you, you don't like us kind of thing, and we're going to turn your back on him. This happened in Brian Billick's final year in 2007,
right.
Where his message got stale. The players actually were vocally, and you can see it, where they were like, we're not playing for you. And everybody keeps asking, well, why does Marvin Lewis still have a job when he's been there 15 years or so and ain't won a playoff game as a head coach, but he continues to be employed? But then you see here, Harbaugh, it could be a fourth straight year without making the playoffs, and he's on the hot seat. Why is that? And I said, well, because, I mean, yeah, the players still respect that, but because the players still respect Marvin Lewis and want to play hard for him, all you have to do is look to the Bengals game last year where we lost. The Bengals didn't lay down that game, did they not? They came out their best effort, and they beat us to knock us out of playoffs. There's motivation. There's no motivation to playing your rival there, but then also to, you know, they play hard for a coach. So Marv Lewis built his resume here as a Raven. So, you know, as a Raven coach. So in getting all that aside, you know, that's ingredient number one. Has the players turned their back on the head coach, and has his message got stale? The staleness of that, I really don't know, because, again, I'm not in the huddles. I'm not in the team meetings. I'm not in that practice realm where I'm hearing, you know, what's going on out there. So I only see the players' reaction to that and hear it audibly too, as well as read it on social media. And I haven't seen that. Another thing is too, they're 4-5, and they're not. And Brandon, as bad as this is saying this out loud, they're not that far off the pace as far as AFC. I mean, you're like, how can 4-5, you know, be, you know, as far as talking playoffs and records, they're not mathematically eliminated. Now, are they playing a playoff team? No. They lost three straight, and it just was it was an embarrassing performance. I mean, another one-score game. I don't even know where to start, but we're going to squash that right now. Harbaugh's not being fired, and I'm going to echo some things that I've been hearing in kind of taking it in, and here's my take is, I'd like to hear your thoughts about Harbaugh, Brandon. I really don't know how you feel, but, you know, I've always liked him as a head coach. I thought it was a great hire by Bisciotti, nor is Bisciotti going to do a knee-jerk reaction to fire Harbaugh midseason. To one writer's credit, one Nestor from WST put it this way, that's kind of what the Browns and the Raiders would do. You know, are we that kind of a franchise? No, and look at the Browns. They fired their offensive coordinator, head coach. But see, Hugh Jackson's won one football game in like 3 years. You know, Harbaugh, he's got what? I think he's got like 98 wins and 70 losses, something like that. He's got just over 500 winning percentage. But the problem is the Ravens are 44-45 since winning the Super Bowl. It's been a definition of mediocrity for 3.5 years, is just getting there, just getting there. I mean, I'm an optimist by nature, but I mean, I'm going to give it to you straight. Yeah, they flat out sucked. and there's a lot of things to talk about on this one, but I've always been that optimist of saying, look, they've been a competitor because you look at the lowly Browns who've won one, you know, before this season, won one football game in 2 years. And you're talking that the Ravens constantly win 7, 8, 9 wins every year, and they're constantly in that discussion like, hey, we were 9-7 last year, one play away from being, you know, 10-6 and making it to the playoffs, you know, and they were 8-8 the year before that, and one more win at 9-7 would have got us in. So they've been in the discussion. Yeah, I want a contender to get in January every year. I mean, you want to be this perennials or hay every other year. It's what you want the culture to be. Think we were kind of really spoiled with that run of 2008-12 where we went to the playoffs, you know, 5 straight years, 6 out of the last 7, and beyond that, and got spoiled. And now because we had that taste, yeah, it's a little disheartening because the Ravens ain't doing the things to get back there, man. But when you say this ain't the same Ravens, I literally sat in the stands and said, this isn't the same football team that took it to Pittsburgh on Sunday Night Football. It's mirror images, totally different. And we talked about it last show, did we not? The Purple Friday preview is it's a combination of the teams, you know, going different directions. The Ravens started good and now are crashing. The Steelers started bad and now they're finding their footing. So there's a lot to be said with that and momentum and everything, but now, there was a lot left on the field with this one on Sunday, and it just was a frustrating quarter after quarter, minute by minute, and it was just a lot of – I don't know how many times I was disgusted on Sunday, man. It's just like pick a moment.
Yeah, so let me just give my opinion here about what we're going to see in the future with John Harbaugh. I don't see John Harbaugh getting fired this week during the bye week, mid-season at all. Him and Steve Bisciotti are boys. They are very good friends. They work together really well. And John Harbaugh was Steve Bisciotti's first hire when he kind of took over the team. So I think that they're going to stick together as long as they can. You brought up Nestor from a local radio station around Baltimore, WNSD. He was in the locker room after the game. And like you said, he saw that the team is still very much behind Harbaugh. He still is motivating the players. He still is rallying the troops. So if your team is rallying around the coach, then there's no reason to let the coach go. It doesn't make any sense to do that. However, I think Harbaugh needs to do better at his job. He is a really good guy. There was a story that or a tweet that came out. I think I shared it over on the Facebook page about how somebody from, I think, Fox 45, a local TV station in Baltimore, was behind somebody on Lombard Street heading towards the stadium. And one of the squeegee kids came up and squeegeed the windshield of the person in front of them. Person in front of them rolled down their window, gave the kids high five and a hug. And when he pulled up to the next light, the guy that was in that car was John Harbaugh. So John Harbaugh still, he loves this city. He loves this team. He still, you know, he still breathes purple, gold, and black as much as the
next
guy.
And he's a Harbaugh. His last name is synonymous with football, right?
Right, exactly. So
it's, yeah, I get it. And I heard that same story. I think it was Brent Hollander.
Yes, yes. Yes, it was.
Yeah, it was a great touching story. I read that and I was like, wow, I didn't even know that. It's pretty awesome.
But when you also see guys like Bernard Pollard come out, tweet that they got to fire him, they got to do this, they got to do that. After the Super Bowl, certain players did leave, like Ed Reed, like Bernard Pollard, because he wanted Harbaugh to be surrounded by yes men. Now, that's not good either. You know, it's good to have loyal people around you. It's good to surround yourself with people that you can trust, but they also have to make you better. So Harbaugh, Steve Bisciotti, they got to make the right calls and surround the people that they believe will get the team to the playoffs, to the Super Bowl. They have to surround the right people with the right people, if that makes any sense. Is Harbaugh gone after this year? Maybe. you know, it's a good chance. I think Bisciotti will give him a chance to finish out the season, see what he can do. There's a lot of big money getting off that field later on this year. We don't know what's going to happen with Joe Flacco. We don't know what's going to happen with Terrell Suggs in the long run. So there's a lot of stuff up in the air. Why are you going to fire your coach, John Harbaugh, when you've got a lot of big name players that potentially could be leaving town, going to other places? And that's another thing. You remember, I think it was last year, Harbaugh was on the hot seat last year as well. You and I went to the, was it 2 years ago or was it last year? One or the other. We went to the Jets-Ravens game on the Jimmy Seafood bus, and somebody said, so it was a Jets fan.
I think it was 3 years ago.
Was it three? Oh my God. Wow. All right. We're old.
It wasn't last year. It was the year before that.
Jeez. All right. Well, there was a guy that was sitting next to us who was a Jets fan, and he said, so we heard Harbaugh might be on the hot seat.
I say it might have been a year. I can't remember.
I don't remember. It's been a while. But we're just like, the guy next to us is like, what's going to happen to him? And we're like, we don't think he's going to be let go. And he goes, well, if you guys ever do let him go, he always has a place here in New York. He could be the head coach of the Jets. So this coach he's going to land somewhere else, so then he becomes your competition. So I don't know. It seems unlikely Harbaugh's going anywhere in the near future. In the postseason, in the off season, maybe. But that's still a big maybe. Things do have to change, though. Don't get me wrong. I don't think the same old is going to fly, because like I said, right now fans are angry, they're annoyed, but if they become indifferent, that's when you got to worry. If people are like going to be Baltimore Oriole fans where the team just plays and nobody comes to the stadium, that's when you got to worry. I was a little worried at the beginning of this season. You and I went to training camp this year a couple months ago, and those stands at training camp were not filled. There was a lot of room to move around. You ask people what they're doing for the games, a lot of people aren't watching. If the majority of fans become indifferent, that's when you're going to see something change.
And you bring up a great point. And I did see Russell Street Report put out an article. It was like about a fan that like basically was like contemplating on giving up his PSL. It was like, you know, coming to realization that it's just like it's not the same. And it was kind of like the guys I, you know, went to the game with too. It was like they had the discussion on the way home, obviously with what voice I had left. You know, obviously got it back finally, but it was just like it's not the same old environment. And again, we understand winning cures that, but and I feel like it's not only not winning and losing games. I'm fine with like, you know, I mean, I'm not fine with losing, obviously, but I'm fine with, like, obviously the team's not going to keep sustaining winning. You're going to have losses, but what makes it harder is I've heard a lot around this week is it's gotten vanilla. It's gotten boring. And Brandon, I don't like vanilla, just vanilla plain old ice cream. Just give me two scoops of vanilla and that's it. Have a nice day. No, I want some excitement. I want some, you know.
Hey, if you wanted a rocky road, we sure got one here.
Right, exactly. I mean, but you want a flavorful dish, right? And I feel like that's what the message is. It's gotten boring. It's predictable. And we had this discussion. You know, I had it with my pastor's a big Ravens fan like me. You know, he loves going to games. He gets passionate. And me and him talked, and I said, If me and you, we agreed, if me and you can sit on the couch or in the stands and call the plays that are being called, it's vanilla. And I think it came to a point to me where I got very frustrated when it's 3rd and 1. And again, I know we have a lack of a running game. We can break that down all day and night on the call, but it doesn't matter. The point is we don't have a running game. Let's just face it. But how I don't understand. That's why I say I don't understand Marty Morningweg. I would love to be an offensive coordinator for a week and show these guys how to do their job. 3rd and 1 or 2nd and 1, I can't remember the down. I think it was 3rd down because I think we got off the field at that point. I don't care if we have a new running game or not. 3rd and 1, you need 3 feet. 3 feet to get a 1st down or 3 feet and a couple inches to move the chains. And instead of running it north and south, just run it forward. You need 3 feet forward for 1 yard. He takes Lamar Jackson and he's another gimmick plays and he runs him, you know, like a kind of like around the defense. So he basically runs almost like 10 yards the other way and ends up getting tackled for a loss. So the play was a negative gain and he already got first down yardage running sideways. And I'm like, and then that's when I lost it. I stood up and I don't know what I was saying. I blacked out. I was just screaming nonsense. And I'm just like beside myself. I remember taking my hat and throwing it on the ground. I had a beanie on, taking my hat and throwing it in the ground. I'm just like disgusted. Like, why do we continue to do this kind of stupid stuff? Like, be simple. And I was like, I mean, I wish Marty could hear me, because I came undone. That was the tipping point for me. Another one was, and we all know it, and I'm sure it was blatant on TV, not once but twice, but how about, and I showed it on the Call Facebook page because I found the screenshot. How about Joe not seeing Lamar Jackson on that play? And when Jackson came in motion, I thought it was going to be a run play. Like, oh, he's going to hand him off. And if Jackson would have gotten the handoff, he would have scored anyway, because he was well on his way. And whatever defense the Steelers were in, they were totally oblivious to the fact that Jackson was in motion. But Joe Flacco, he didn't even see him. He just threw a dart in the end zone. Like, the play was dead. Like, it was bad. Like, that was just bad football coming to a head altogether.
All right, so let's break down this play, because this is the play of the game for the Ravens. It's this missed pass to Lamar Jackson. There's a lot of fans blaming Joe for this loss. There's a lot of fans saying this is the play that ruined the game for them. Joe is the type of quarterback that locks into a receiver or a tight end. He knows where he's throwing this ball before the snap. Joe targets it. He knows what he wants to do. He knows where he wants to put the ball. He was throwing that ball to John Brown, whether or not he had three people on him or not. Now, is that the right move or not? Yes, Lamar Jackson was completely wide open. He was clear. If Joe would have taken 2 seconds to look, he would have seen Lamar. He would have been able to throw it. But that's not the quarterback Joe is. Joe locks in. He decides where the ball's going before anything happens. And if it doesn't work out, he throws the ball away. That's this play does not surprise me. When I saw everyone freaking out about this play, yeah, I agree with you. He should have thrown it to Lamar. He should have taken 2 seconds and seen Lamar open and thrown it to him. But when in the history of Joe Flacco being Joe Flacco has he ever done that? He doesn't. That's not his quarterback. That's not the way he thinks. So it's very interesting that people are bringing that play up so much to me, even though, yes, it should have gone to him. What was it like in the stadium when that play happened? What did you think, you know, first time around without any replays, seeing it? Was it as big a deal at the time, or was it really, when you look back at replays and stuff, did you realize, holy cow, he had a wide receiver completely open? Why didn't he do that?
Yeah, that was the reaction. We were talking about it for a while, it seemed like. It was just like, and like it would be 5 minutes go by, and then you hear somebody just start complaining, wide open, and it just, and the more the game went, when we were at a one score game, it's like there's points on the board, and we're not even talking about that play anyway. When you look at the final game, the score, and knowing that how long ago does it seem that this team was 13 for 13 or 12 for 12 in the red zone, scoring touchdowns, not field goals, but touchdowns. When they get inside that 20, you know it's going in the end zone. And this is what happens. When they trade touchdowns for field goals, it reminds me of a Bengals game this one year. There was a year, and I think it was during the Ray Lewis era, there was a year where the Ravens played the Bengals at home. The final score was 21-9. The Bengals won. Bengals scored 3 touchdowns. The Ravens kicked 3 field goals. When you constantly miss that 4-point swing in that touchdown, it's detrimental. And when the Ravens got inside the 20, not once but twice there, and kicked field goals, it was game over. You especially how the Ravens, apart from the Panthers game, they have, all their losses have been very close, less than a score, and not even that much more. I mean, the Saints game was a 1-point win loss. The Browns game was a 3-point loss. It's just a combination of things to where, and I just even said this on the Facebook page, when you lose by a small margin, everybody and everything is put under the microscope. Well, if the blocker would have did this, if Tucker would have did that, if Joe would have did this, if Lamar would have done that, everybody is put under the microscope. But when you get beat like they did against the Panthers by, 15, 20 points, you can't really say, well, if they did this, it's just, hey, they didn't show up to play. And what was even more frustrating about that loss is we know it already, a couple weeks stale there is the Ravens started so well and then just came unglued. So, and you see it. And speaking of Flacco, locking with his receivers, we kept alluding to Kyle Bowler did that. And then we kind of joked about how, you know, all the quarterbacks in the Ravens ranks who were so bad. So, I mean, and I feel like it's not only that, that the Ravens are boring and stale, but I feel like, you know, the excitement's gone. Joe, I feel like he's just going out there. He's not, you know, he's not calling the plays. He's passionate. And I don't know. I mean, I would like to see a different side of, and I'm not comparing the Ravens to anybody or anything, or Joe to a upper echelon quarterback, but, you know, obviously we know the Patriots are 7-2, but when I watch them play and watch Tom Brady play, he reminds me a lot like Brett Favre was, where he plays it like a little kid. You know, he's passionate, he fist bumps when something's going good, he's celebrating with his teammates. I mean, there was a time where Tom Brady, I think the defense scored a touchdown, and Tom Brady ran down the sideline, started celebrating with the team. Like, yeah, I know winning cures all that. Obviously, if the Patriots are getting blown out and a loss, Tom Brady's not doing that. But that's what I would love to see about, you know, again, I hate to – everybody's their own person, right, Brandon? Like, me and you are going to react differently to things. You know, I get way more rambunctious than you probably do during Ravens games. It's just how we are, but we're still fans. It doesn't take away from that, right? So, you know, but my point is – you know, I just feel like that it's the boringness. It's Joe's out there doing his thing. And I feel like the Ravens' problem and seeing this all now unfolding and coming to a head here is the Ravens don't adjust and change the things. They don't, I think they're hard headed in a way. And it could be leadership. It could be, I don't know. I don't know how much control that Harbaugh has over Marty or Marty has full reign. But I feel like it's they don't adjust to things. It's, well, I feel like they go out and play their game no matter who the opponent is. And I don't feel like they game plan for the opponent they're playing. It's, oh, well, we're playing Ben, but we're still going to run the same offense as we were playing the Browns or the same defense that we're playing the Bengals. I feel like they do the Ravens, quote unquote, game plan. And they hope, and then maybe they're hoping they get lucky and it works against somebody. I don't know, but there's a lot of answers right now. Bye week come at a perfect time, but three straight losses, 4-5. I mean, again, they're not mathematically, and I see that very sarcastically, eliminated, but they're not playing like a playoff team. They have to go. I mean, they do have a favorable schedule, but the way they've been playing, I wouldn't be surprised if the Raiders come in here and beat us how bad that team is. And that's when it's not the worst team in the league. So, there's a lot of soul searching for fans and players alike, man, because fans are already questioning, like, and I heard people on Facebook too. And I was slow to speak. I didn't call them out, I'm not calling them out by name, but there were a few fans that I heard that, well, I'm glad I didn't spend money on tickets this year because they suck. And I'm like, so you're a fair weather fan. So what's it, and you put that right on social media, and I could screenshot and share for all the world, but I'm not going to be that guy. But because I was angry in the moment, I almost did it because I was just angry at the loss, angry that the Steelers beat us and everything. But, you know, it just shows you my maturity. But anyway, you know, that's surprising to me because it's like, oh, so you're only going to go to games and pay a premium if obviously they're on the Patriots level of things. Like, now that's, I don't associate with fans like that. You're in this in the long haul, either in or out. You know, yeah. And everybody has their own level of fandom. Brandon, it's, you know, obviously I get it. You know, it's hard to go to games and hard, but it's the energy. Someone even said it's a lot. Like, it's not exciting to want to go down. And I feel like the excitement will come back when there's a regime change and Joe's gone and Lamar gets it. Because Lamar, to me, is exciting. When he gets the ball, what's he going to throw? Is he going to run it? What's going to happen? You know, it's that excitement. I feel like when the excitement gets back, you're going to draw fans back. There's a lot that's not exciting about this team with not running, defense, you know, not getting the pass rush. But there's other things that eliminate that. So you have to give the other team credit, like the Steelers, because they could be eliminating our pass rush. And it ain't just because the Ravens ain't doing their job. It could be, well, maybe the Steelers are that good at blocking it. Who knows? But there's a lot to learn, but in the differences in the play, and you see it. And I wanted to break this down, too. If you remember, there was a play where it was third down. The Ravens blitzed everybody, but, and we covered this a lot, how the Bengals do this so well. Ben caught a slant, or the play he called was a slant, got it out so quick, and it beat everybody, and it was a first down play. And how many times has Joe not been a pocket awareness and they'll go get the ball in the shotgun and not be aware of the surroundings and get sacked? But what's even, again, you know, of all the doom and gloom, you know, I'm in my recording studio looking around. I'm like, I see the pictures of the Maha Miracle and I see some of the spectacular plays in our history. And I'm like, but he did it, you know. And whether love or hate him, or this could be Joe and Harbaugh's last year together, who knows? But, you know, I say, you know, enjoy the ride now, but thanks for the memories. But, you know, it is time for a change, I believe, and a change for the better.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. I don't know what that change is, but the way you were just talking, I mean, you were saying you don't just want vanilla, you want some more flavor. Sounds like you were saying Joe Flacco's vanilla and Lamar is you know, the extra flavor you're looking for. So I don't know. Maybe Joe is.
I'm ready for Lamar. I'm not hiding. I'm not bashful about it. Every time he gets into, like, I get excited. I love that kind of style. I love that quarterback play. And I'm just ready. You know, it's just, I'm ready. It's time. You know, and you know, thanks but no thanks. I'm ready. I'm gonna be backing that train. If anybody wants to come on board, please do. If not, hey, you can ride this one out. But yeah, I'm definitely ready for a change. But it's not going to deter me from not going. That's the difference. I'm still going to go and put my effort in because, hey, this is all I have. So, you know, but and what was said about me if I just mailed in? But a positive though, and this kind of brings everything together because, like you say about like stale vanilla. Do you want more exciting? But you know what's and so, there's two things that happened to me personally on Sunday that just made me. Because, and I'll be honest with you, Brandon, I'm not kidding. There was a time, and it wasn't, I think it's been in the past year, where I thought about, like, almost like me personally, like, why do I do what I do? Why do I always put on the gear? And, you know, I'm not saying, like, I miss being a casual fan, but it's like, why do I'm always the one putting all the gear on, getting crazy with the red eyes, and no one else does it? But you know what, something happened to me on Sunday, twice in the game?
What happened?
I want to share something personal story. I wish I'd have got the guy's name, but hopefully he'll be back around. I was caught up in the moment. Didn't really talk to him much, but I didn't even catch his name. But he came up to me twice. He sat right in front of me, directly in front of me in the stands. And he actually asked how long have I been sitting here. And he appreciated my gear and all that. And I said, well, I've had PSLs for 2 years, but I said I've been sitting in these seats for at least – 5, 6, 7 years, well before the Super Bowl happened, because I've been a part of every home game. It's just I never had my own seats. But I said, now I own these two seats that I'm sitting in. So, but he goes, I remember seeing some of your gear, but he goes, I just don't remember you coming to games along. I said, well, I can guarantee you, I can show you pictures. I've been here from at least 2009 or 10. So, I mean, I've been here. So, but he actually said he appreciated my passion. And win or lose, he said he actually told me this, Brandon. He said every section of the stadium needs one of you in it. That's what he said.
Ah, that's so cool.
Yep, it is. It almost choked me up a little bit because it's like you sit there and you question why you do it, but then that rubs off of somebody. Somebody sees that, even though the Ravens are pissing you off and it's a losing effort and they're not doing things right and you're frustrated hitting the seats. Oh my God! But someone notices that, and you're wearing your badge, and you're wearing your eye black, and my red eyes, and they're like, man, you know, you get it, you exemplify what it means to be all in fan, and that in itself touched me. But then another special thing happened. I went on the concourse in the second half, and you didn't know this because this wasn't on TV, but the halftime obviously was salute to service. They did the flyover and all that, and a lot of the new gear was sported, and it was discounted in the stadium, but they invited some old Ravens players back to do a flag football mixed with the military guys at halftime. It was a fun game. There was, you know, Qadri Ismail was there, Willis McGahee and others. They were there. Well, I walk in the concourse and I know old Ravens faces and play. I just know who they are. And, this big old guy comes walking through with his, Ravens military hoodie looking all good. It's Jameel McLean. He walked right by me on the upper concourse. I don't know why he's up there. And he actually stopped and appreciated. And he goes, I love the get up, my man. And I stopped and gave him a hug real quick and said, how you doing, man? He said, good. And I said, good to see you. I said, good Raven, sir. And he told me, have a good day. So another great moment that was a feel-good moment. Not only a fan acknowledged that, but Jamil McLean walked by and loved the get up. So it just again, you know, win or lose, I'm still going to get up early and get my tailgating stuff ready. And I'm still going to dress up in my gear and go. And, you know, you're right. Now, I saw it in the stadium, and it was the war cry last time, the home game when the Saints were here. But every decibel does count. And I felt like, the fans were into it again for the Steelers game. There was a lot of fans there, but I felt like the Saints game, we had a little bit more as we were coming back. But the last two home games, they were more fun than not, because I felt like we got into a little bit as the fans, as far as backing the team. But I missed the days where it was sold out. You couldn't, you know, everybody wanted your tickets, and it was everybody's in their seats, and everybody's up in unison on third down. It got crazy, and I missed that at the stadium, but it's not going to deter me, but I'll be honest with you, it is not the same. It's starting to become a little stale in the stands too, for it's like, you know, I feel like I'm the only one fired up, but at least the guys behind me appreciate it because they're up yelling with me on defense, so it's great.
Yeah, and again, that's what's going to be the real turning point for this team. It's not performance by the team. It's not
right.
Coaching or not. It is indifference from the fans. That is what's going to really change things, unfortunately. But I do want to end the show on this. We had somebody on the Facebook page comment something. I believe his name was Brandon, and great name. That's why I remembered it. But he said something. It's never as bad as it seems. So I do want to end this show talking about one of the bright spots of this game, and Orlando Brown Jr. I thought had an absolutely fantastic game. He was throwing up some blocks for Joe Flacco. He might have earned his starter spot when a couple of these other guys get healthy again, but I thought he did a great job. Joe, it seemed, was a little bit worried, a little bit scared in the pocket to begin the game, but as the game progressed, Orlando Brown, that big dude, he really was making a name for himself out there.
Yeah, and I actually didn't see the play. I didn't even know this happened, because it's you know, there are pros and cons of each watching at home versus, you know, at the stadium. But he basically manhandled one of the Watt brothers there, and you know, broke his helmet apparently. So kudos to Zeus. He's got his dad's vigor and fire, man, and ferociousness, and man, what a way to earn your play like a Raven stripes there. And they always say, they said it before, you're not a Raven until you play the Steelers. Well, I feel like you're not a Raven until you do that to a Steeler. And welcome to Baltimore, and you know, great late memory of your dad, and that's great, man. It's that was a fantastic play. I saw the replay finally, and I'm a big OB fan right now.
Yeah, absolutely. And whether it be Joe Flacco or Lamar Jackson in the long run, if you've got Orlando Brown Jr. Giving you time in the pocket and guarding for you, I think you're gonna feel pretty comfortable sitting back there. So
absolutely.
And that's the thing. I also want to say the reason why Joe Flacco may have gotten didn't look Lamar's way during the one throw and gotten rid of that ball as quickly as he could was because a lot of the offensive line was beat up, and I think he was worried. And again, not a good thing to not have faith in the people that you're playing with, but that's something you don't want to see in your quarterback. So we'll see what happens. It's a bye week, so we'll let these guys heal up. We'll let them regroup, and then we'll see what they do next. So, Josh, for this Red Eye review, have we covered everything?
We covered this one. Quote the Raven, nevermore.
All right, guys, if you want to continue the conversation with Josh or I, you can. It's real easy. All you have to do is tweet to either one of us. You can tweet to me at BrandoCast. Josh, where can people tweet to you at?
Always at ItalianGQ52.
All right, guys, go to our Facebook page, facebook.com/thecallpodcast. Like us over there. Whenever a new show comes out, you'll be the first to know. My phone has been blowing up since Sunday. I woke up to like 20 notifications on the Facebook page app because you guys and Josh were talking back and forth after the game all Sunday night. I love seeing it. It's great. We got a great little Facebook community over there. You know what I just thought of? You know what might be fun? We should start our own Facebook group, not just on the Facebook page, but a Facebook call group. I'm going to look into that. I think maybe that's my job for the bye week, is to start up a call Facebook group. That's what I think I might do. So If you guys like that idea, let us know over on the Facebook page. Now, we do this show for free. You listen, stream, and download for free on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, the Baltimore Sports Report Network, Player.fm, Overcast, Google Play Music, and Satchel. All we ask in return is for you please spread the word about the show. Write us an Apple Podcast review, and then let people know on Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest and Instagram and Reddit and Snapchat and Vero and Twitch, anywhere you're social on the web with your phone. Say, I'm a Baltimore Ravens fan. I still am. I listen to The Call, and you should too. So that is pretty much it for the show this week. We'll be back after the bye week unless we have something special planned. We're still working on that. We're not going to say yes or no, but this is why you go like the Facebook page in case a new show pops up. We're trying, guys. We'll see what happens. But Josh, take us out the way you always do.
Brandon, man, thank you so much. And yeah, you're right. And still. I don't think it'll ever waver. And you know, I was reminded of this meme I've seen on Facebook. You know, there's an old guy having the umbrella, putting it over the Ravens logo, and it said, "Just because I'm mad, don't mean I don't care." And that kind of reminds me of the Ravens lately. It's yeah, they make you mad. Yeah, they make you really frustrated. You know, they leave you dejected walking the stadium. Why? They leave us questioning our own fandom. Like, why do I root this team? But then I look around my purple walls here. And I see memories of old, man, the Super Bowl, you know, the Mahi Miracle, 4th and 29, you know, Ray Lewis on the field, Ed Reed returning interceptions, and I remember how fun it was. And it was, it's fun because when you had legends and playmakers and, you know, and this history of this team, and it's still fun for me, and I hope it's still fun for y'all, and we make it fun for you here at The Call. You know, we speak truths, you know, we speak it hard, you know, whether they're really good or whether they're really bad, we're going to give it to you. We're going to give our takes. And, you know, we always want to root this team hard. And, you know, it's really tough right now because going on, you know, right now, 3 years going on, it could be a fourth year without the playoffs in a row. That's not something that we're used to. We're used to being in January. I love to see the purple passion in January, man. January football is where it's at around here. And I love to get one of these home games. And it's few and far between, and it's going to be a tough road. If the Ravens think they're fooling themselves, they got to look in the mirror. Bye week's going to be a soul-searching week. What are you made of? I mean, Mosley already came out, said they pretty much have to come out with this, like, win-every-week mentality. I mean, they got to. No choice. You only have one, maybe one loss, you know, because obviously 10-6 maybe gets you in, or it could be a lockdown there. 9-7 might be because the AFC's mediocre, but – hey, you got to get back to 500, claw your way. Got two home games coming up after the bye week. I say now, you know, you guys, you know, rest up. Give this a chance to really rest up, and we'll get after in 2 weeks. Now the Bengals come in here. It could be a huge pivotal divisional game right here coming for the season on the line. I feel like if Sunday wasn't a playoff game, Bengals in 2 weeks, it surely is an in-season playoff game for survival, staying on court, on par with the course here of the season. So that, enjoy the bye week. It's not good, but the Steelers and Ravens split home and away. You know, they beat them at their house, but again, this was not your same Ravens who started the season, and right now, they got to find their way before it really gets all lost cause. And with that being said, into the bye week, Baltimore Ravens, we're still flying high.
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by Brad Lepore and Daniel Kelly from the DBK Studio. For more information, go to brandocash.com.
The Call is a member of the Baltimore Sports Report Network. Find more podcasts like this at baltimoresportsreport.com.